Do you turn off or put your computers to sleep after not using them for an hour? Do you turn off lights and use natural lighting whenever practical? What about water conservation and waste management? What kind of effort do you make to minimize how much soap and water you use when washing your hands or dishes? Do you compost?
Asking ourselves these questions helps us to think about how environmentally friendly we are in our daily lives. This is also something that people who work in research labs need to consider in respect to their jobs. They have some more specific things to be aware of, though, like do they clean out refrigerators and freezers at least once a year and throw away all the samples that they no longer need? Have they tried to limit the number and toxicity of chemicals that they use? And how many miles are traveled each year, either by car or by plane, as a result of their research?
So I am developing a survey that different labs can take that will be able to tell them how sustainable their work is.
I'm Tori Pucci, and welcome to episode 3 of At This Point, the science podcast that works to expand the accessibility of science by exploring topics that, at this point, may seem too complex to understand. Today's episode features Sally Albright, a recent graduate of Oregon State University with degrees in environmental sciences and earth science with an option in ocean science. For her honors thesis, Sally took a more novel approach to research and studied the impacts of research itself. She developed a Green Lab certification for OSU. This uses a bottom-up approach to sustainability instead of the traditional top-down model and works to help OSU move closer to a carbon neutral goal. In addition to being a school, Oregon State University is home to many research labs. As of 2019, it is one of only two public universities in the country with land, space, sea, and sun grants, meaning it has tons of scientists, which includes professors, researchers, and students, and they all work on research projects in these different fields. These research projects can be anything from building ocean surveying equipment to growing plants in a greenhouse to working with cells and chemicals at a lab bench. Regardless of how the science is done, all of these methods produce waste. Previous studies have shown that research labs produce 5 to 10 times as much waste as an office of a similar size. When you think about how many labs there are at big universities like OSU, and how many big universities there are in the country and the world, you can quickly get overwhelmed with the amount of waste. One study shows that plastics alone from labs contribute about 1.8% of yearly global plastic, and that might not sound like much, but in reality, that's about 67 cruise ships worth of plastic every year. And this waste is on top of that produced by all the other functions of a large university. These are things like printing out worksheets and exams for all the students, and providing supplies for them to use for their own projects. OSU and other universities across the nation realized the impact that their waste production and resource consumption played in climate change and wanted to take action.
So in 2007, Oregon State University President Ed Ray signed this thing called the American College and University President's Climate Commitment, what we call the Climate Plan.
University operations were split into three groups: infrastructure, which focuses on the day-to-day operations of the university; education and engagement, which includes classes and campus events; and research. Each group was told to reflect on the sustainability of their work and make some adjustments wherever possible.
In my mind, the simplest way that I can put it is that sustainability is something that can last and something that can keep going without needing more fuel, without needing extra work down the road, or at least needing minimal amounts of maintenance. In 2009, the first sustainability report was completed by the university, and since then, those have been maintained by the OSU Sustainability Office. And unfortunately, we're not as close to this goal as we would like. These tools are very helpful, but we do need more tools in order to understand what there is we can do to get us closer to that goal.
It's challenging to come up with just one or a couple programs that work for everyone, from research labs to offices to classrooms. It's hard to address problems this big with one solution. Approaches like this are called top-down governance, and they're not quite efficient enough.
Top-down models of governance are things like making sweeping actions, big regulations, and big changes. That's something like divesting in fossil fuel, or There is currently a bill going around campus right now to require that all work-related travel also incorporate carbon offsets to the cost of their travel. Those are very, very big changes, but only a few people are a part of that. Only a few people are part of writing the bill and are a part of actually making the moves. And of course, public support is a very huge part of it, but that does leave people to feel very powerless when all they can do is say that they support it. And so top-down governance is something that happens much more at the higher level and has the potential to make a much higher impact, but will ultimately directly include a lot less people and will end up taking a little bit more time. So bottom-up governance is sustainability as a sum of its parts, focusing on individual categories and individual actions that we can do that are smaller. And so there are little bits and pieces that we can chip away at that are things that maybe somebody in the lab would be able to make the change in one day and it would be over with, but they just weren't aware of it. And so there are little things that we can do that ultimately add up to a very, very large impact and ultimately impact a lot more people and teach a lot more people, make a lot more people aware of different sustainable practices that they can actually implement in their labs, things that help them to take power and take accountability for their own carbon footprint in their workspace.
For OSU, these smaller individual actions include tackling one of their biggest producers of waste, research labs. In the context of this project, sustainability refers to the sustainability of methods used to do the science in the labs at OSU. This can depend on a lot of different factors and varies from lab to lab, depending on what kind of research the lab does, what their overall budget looks like, if they do work in the field or at a lab bench. Sustainability can mean a lot of different things. The OSU Green Lab certification takes that into account and works to be flexible and let sustainability have a different definition for each lab in a way that works for them.
I've worked in labs for pretty much the entire time I've been at Oregon State University up until this point. And as a result of the time that I've spent there, I've definitely observed a lot of room for improvement for waste management techniques and pro-environmental behaviors that I see happening in lab settings. But I also want to emphasize that I want to come from a supportive point of view. I want to come from a point of view that is understanding of the different needs of the methodologies of different researchers, and that sometimes waste is just part of the science, but that doesn't mean that you can't make changes. So I want to make sure that there's all of the different resources available to provide a multitude of options for different researchers and labs to implement sustainable practices where they can. So I am developing a survey that different labs can take that will be able to tell them how sustainable that their work is.
So how does a survey do that? Sally used the College of Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Science as a test drive for this survey. She worked with four different labs on this proof of concept approach, basically to make sure that the labs that would be using the survey actually had a hand in designing it. The survey itself is split into six categories: energy conservation, water conservation, waste management, lab purchasing, transportation, and education and engagement. Each category contains relevant questions that labs can answer in anywhere from an hour to a day, depending on how in-depth they want to go.
The Green Lab Certification Survey is a tool that labs can use at universities to gauge how sustainable their practices are. And it also helps them to inform future initiatives in when they want to become more eco-friendly. How do they go about doing that? The survey is designed to help labs to identify what features of their work and what categories of their work could use a little bit more work or a little bit more help as far as sustainability goes. And then we're able to use that data provided from the survey to provide specific feedback that will help those labs to make actionable changes.
The questions that Sally and I asked you to consider at the beginning of this episode are adapted from the questions in the survey. Most sections include statements like, "We turn off lights and use natural lighting whenever practical," and then asks the researcher to estimate the average number of hours each day that the lights are left on.
Throughout my research, I was identifying different kinds of appliances that are the most energy sucking in different types of lab settings, and ultra-low freezers are some of the most significantly impactful energy consumers in labs. So I wanted to add a few questions of that into the survey to recognize any efforts that labs have made to have efficient technology in their lab, but also to help to guide people and help them understand the impacts of having older, outdated, or having not maintained their technology. Not in a criticizing way, but in an encouraging and teaching kind of way.
Education and engagement are a key part of not only the questions, but the survey's goals.
So education and engagement is a section all entirely in itself. So that would be the lab's role in how they participate in sustainability education. And that actually teaches them how to participate in those very passive ways, such as posting signage near waste receptacles or being aware of the recycling services that are available. So that would be the lab side. But also from our side of things, the survey is designed for people to actually do the tasks as they are notified of their options. So for those one-time tasks, or for those one-time look this up and learn how to do this or teach these people how to do this thing, they can actually get points for the survey in that moment. So we can actually teach them best practices in sustainability while also being able to recognize that they're doing it. So it works both ways, that the labs can be educational, but also we can provide that educational background as well.
Once the program is rolled out, a lab at OSU can take the survey in as little time as an hour and identify areas where they are practicing sustainability and areas that could use some improvement. At the end of the survey, labs will receive a copper, silver, gold, or platinum certification that represents the overall sustainability of the lab. They will also receive recommendations or suggestions for areas where they can further improve their lab sustainability. They can also retake the survey after implementing these new practices to increase their score. Sally encourages labs taking this survey to look at it more like a wish list instead of like a to-do list. The survey was designed with the input of just a couple labs, but still tries to understand that every lab has different needs and abilities. The hope is that the labs can do their best to achieve what's on the list. They'll be acknowledged for their efforts and will hopefully feel empowered to pursue more intense actions towards sustainability.
Science and research is all about common good and all about increasing accessibility for resources and making the world a better place. Participating in these kind of actions and doing what you can and doing your part without sacrificing the integrity of your science and without sacrificing the needs of your work, but doing what you can and showing that you're aware and that you care about your carbon footprint is something that not only benefits you, but it'll also benefit the common good, which is what research is all about.
Sally also has some advice for people who might be interested in getting involved in research or who want to incorporate sustainability practices into their own lives. Even if you don't work in a lab, think about some of the questions that we mentioned and how you might be able to apply them to your own life.
The most empowering thing you can do for yourself is go plant a tree if you want some more oxygen on the planet. If you want to go fix the problem, then the best thing you can go do is go get your hands dirty and go help and show your support. Because the more we normalize sustainability and the more we normalize being environmentally conscious, the less weird this is going to be and the less scary things like climate change and sustainability are going to be. Ultimately, the goal is to make this commonplace language. So at the very least, inform yourself or ask questions. There are several different ways that you can get involved in undergraduate research. One of the best things that I can tell you is something that a professor actually told me my first year when I was working at a lab for my first time. One thing that this professor told me was that the whole point of him going into academia was to work with students. And so the first and most important piece of advice I can give is to just not be scared of these people and to actually ask questions when people are talking about their research and get curious. Find components of things in everyday life that excite you and ask questions about them. And eventually you'll come up with some kind of field of study that interests you. Some specific tips that I can give for at a university setting would be to walk around the hallways and to look at research posters, because more often than not, the person that wrote that poster that you're interested in right now, their office is really close by. So you can always go in and ask them questions. And people love talking about their research. So that's a really easy way to break the ice. If they can't take any undergraduate involvement right now, you can always ask if they would recommend anybody else in a similar field of study. That is a completely fair game thing to ask a professor, and they are always happy to redirect you to somebody that can actually invest the time into helping you learn.
This podcast is part of my undergraduate thesis for the OSU Honors College, where I'm looking at the importance of science communication and different ways that we can expand the accessibility of science. At This Point is supported by funding from Oregon State University's College of Science Summer Undergraduate Research Experience, or SURE, program. Thank you to the Honors College, College of Liberal Arts, School of Writing, Literature, and Film, all the researchers who took the time to engage in science communication and share their work, and everyone else who supports this project. Thank you.